coming up in the Authorpreneur podcast.
But obviously with first person, it is heavily biased, and depending upon the mental state of the character, it can be heavily biased, like Gone Girl or Girl on the Train.
Welcome to the Authorpreneur podcast. I'm your host, mystery author Amelia D. Hay. On this podcast, I will bring you writing, book marketing, and self-publishing advice so that you can create your dream author business, build your author platform, and be creatively independent. You can find the episode show notes and lots more information on the podcast page at authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast. Hello, writers. Before you put pen to page, you need to decide which point of view is right for your story. In this show, I will discuss point of view in writing fiction and the things you need to consider when choosing the right point of view for your novel. But I won't discuss second person because I don't understand its mechanics and how you would apply this to writing fiction in second person. For me, I don't understand. And I feel that I'm better off just not talking about it because I don't want to contribute misinformation and contribute to the noise that's out there in regards to writing advice. And I will not be delving too deep into third-person omniscient point of view for similar reasons. While researching this episode, I received contradictory advice on how to write in third person omniscient, especially about whether head hopping is permitted. I was literally reading like 4 or 5 articles, and some of them were saying that head hopping is permitted, some were saying don't head hop, and they were saying that head hopping is a plus for this particular point of view, and I was just like, whoa. I couldn't figure out what was right and what was wrong. I don't want to give advice and have someone write a book in third person omniscient based on what I've said and then realize, oh, it's actually not true, because I don't know, I don't feel right about that. In light of this, I'm considering interviewing an editor on my podcast, asking questions about point of view in fiction. So let me know if you're interested in listening to this interview. However, I have had experience writing in first person and third person point of view. With third person, I've written in third person limited and multiple limited. Before we get into the content, if you're interested in reading the transcript or would like links to anything that I've mentioned in the show, then check out the very long blog post or edited transcript at authorpreneurpodcast.com/TAP039. For those of you who are new to this podcast, I want to say a huge thank you for stopping by and trying out my show. To those of you who have been faithfully listening, thank you for regularly listening in and supporting me. Your support means more to me than you know. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. Before you choose the point of view that you believe might be easiest to write or even best for your genre, there are important things you need to consider. What type of story are you writing? Is it a personal character-based story, or is it plot-driven or an epic quest? A personal character-based story might benefit from the first-person point of view, whereas a plot-driven or quest story might benefit from one of the third person point of views. So which point of view is most common in your story genre? If you're not sure what point of view is best for the genre you're writing in, read 5 books that are similar to yours. Pay attention to the point of view and the narrative style of each book. Consider the kind of experience you want your audience to have as they read your book. Do you want your readers to have a close personal connection to the narrator? Perhaps experiencing the larger scope of the story world is more important than that close personal connection. Or do you want your readers to be piecing together a puzzle alongside your detective or amateur sleuth? And point number 4, do you want to create suspense in your story? Where do you want the suspense to come from? Is it essential to your story for your readers to know more than the main character? Or will this suspense come from the narrator's interpretations of what is happening around them? And the final thing you need to consider is how many point of view characters are in this story. You might want to write using third person multiple or omniscient if it's more than one. In saying that though, in the second book of my James Lond series, I am experimenting with writing a particular character's point of view in first and writing everything else in third. Because I sort of feel like it adds a more creepy dimension to the story, because obviously the bad guy is in first. When writing in first person, you use the pronouns I, me, and my, or the gender-neutral pronouns depending upon the character narrating the story. Although I haven't read any books with those gender-neutral pronouns, but there's nothing saying you can't do that. The interesting thing about first person is you're telling the narrator's story, not necessarily the story, and thus focuses on what the narrating character knows, thinks, feels, and experiences. And I know this is pretty obvious, but the story is told through a single character, not multiple. Considering this, the point of view character needs to be interesting or likable and might not be suitable for an anti-hero, especially if it's your first story. Even though this point of view is character-based, you can still build intrigue directly due to the limited access to information and how the character interprets the events and people around them. For instance, your point of view character might see a villain in one person, but what they don't know is actually this person over here. And because they don't know it's this person and they think it's this person, I think that can sort of create that, that can be a way, sorry, to build intrigue. But it can be harder to create dramatic irony where the reader knows something that the character does not. Actually, back to dramatic irony, I think this is important if you're writing in the mystery and thriller genre. I think this is really, along with the suspense, obviously, is what keeps the page turning. I have seen people say, have recommended writing mystery and thriller in first person, but I don't necessarily agree with that. But some of the subgenres within the broader mystery, thriller, and suspense could actually do with a first person point of view. One aspect of first person point of view that can't be escaped is that the perspective is biased. And to be honest, unless you're doing like an objective narrator, if you're doing a, say, a third person sort of limited close point of view, that point of view is still going to be biased because you're looking through, you're filtering the story through the lens of a character. So every time you do that, you're going to come up with bias. It's never going to be the whole truth unless you sort of show other characters' point of views. But obviously with first person, it is heavily biased. And depending upon the mental state of the character, it can be heavily biased, like Gone Girl or Girl on the Train. I will point out I'm about to sort of reveal a huge spoiler if you haven't read Girl on the Train, but sometimes that bias can come through the influence of the other people and other people in that main character having a lot of faith in them and believing what they're saying to them. In the case of, you know, if you've got someone gaslighting you and you sort of believe and the character's believing it, then this can also add bias to the point of view. Because the point of view is character focused, it might not be a good choice for plot focused stories that sit within the mystery and thriller genres. Nevertheless, it's quite common to see first person narrated novels in the domestic thriller subgenre because of the everyday setting of the story. And I do believe there's a book by Paul Teig and it's called Don't Tell Meg. I don't have the book with me. Yeah, so Don't Tell Meg is in first person and that sits within the, and it's by Paul Teig, and that sits within the domestic thriller subgenre, and obviously it's in first person. So that's an example. If you're writing a domestic thriller, first person is definitely an option for that. So if you like writing in first person, and you want to write in the thriller genre, you could consider a domestic thriller, writing a domestic thriller. If you've heard something useful in this episode that was helpful to you and you'd like to support the show, then buy me a coffee for as little as $2 at buymeacoffee.com/author-ADHay. When writing in third person, use the pronouns he, she, they, or it. Some people say third person doesn't have the intimacy of first person, and that's correct to a certain extent. However, you can have the intimacy of first person in third person by letting the reader closer to the character by revealing their opinion on the world around them and revealing the character thoughts in amongst the narration. But you can also have a broader point of view than first by pulling back from the character to offer a wider perspective. That's the benefit of third person. However, third person isn't just one thing. It's not just limited, but allows for multiple point of view characters and can have an omniscient narrator. Third person limited is similar to first person in terms of distance between the character and the reader. Maybe it's a little further along the spectrum. Actually, maybe it's sort of somewhere between first and omniscient. I do recall seeing like a graph or a scale from somewhere, and it was super useful. It's told through a single character's perspective. In saying that, if the character doesn't know something, then the reader can't know it. So this is just like first person, as I said earlier. However, one bonus is you can create tension from the protagonist trying to piece things together. And yeah, as you can see, it's so similar to first. It's just you don't have the depth of closeness. You can't quite achieve that in third. You can achieve something similar, but not exactly the same. So third person multiple is precisely how it sounds. It's when a story is told using third person pronouns, but with multiple viewpoints from different characters in the story. And George R. R. Martin is notorious for doing this. He has a lot of point of view characters in his story, and this is an example of that. They're all told in third person. But you still need to stick to a single viewpoint per scene or chapter at the time. And thus you can easily create dramatic irony where the reader knows something that the point of view character does not. So if you're writing horror, this could be a good viewpoint for you. Oh no, maybe first could be a good viewpoint. I know, again, it's depending on how you want to create the horror element, how you want it to feel, and what kind of experience you want the reader to have. Consequently, suspense is more easily created from this point of view. There are definitely techniques to creating suspense, and there's no reason why you couldn't use that in first person, because some of them, they aren't particularly tied to things that you can do through the narrator character, but they're more to do with how you end scenes or chapters, because you can build suspense in that way. Third person omniscient is a common point of view in classic literature and features an all-knowing narrator. Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice immediately comes to mind. Just a side note, there are modern novels with this perspective, but nothing is coming to mind at the moment. The narrator is almost a character in their own right, able to offer information and perspective not available to the book's main characters, and reveals the thoughts and feelings of all the characters, but should be done deliberately. Showing everything might be a bit too much for the reader, so keep that in mind. Or take it with a grain of salt, because like I said earlier, I have never written something. Actually, I think my first book that I wrote is technically in third person omniscient, and I'm going to have to rewrite it into third person limited. But I don't think I've done it well. I don't recommend that you try this. And I didn't even know I was doing it either. I just wrote in what I thought was third person, but it's a different disaster for another day. After all, you should do what's right for your story. This point of view's biggest pitfall is the distance between the narrator and the reader. So keep that in mind if you're writing a character-based story. To be honest, I don't know how to write in third-person omniscient, so I'm going to leave things here. As I researched this episode, like I said in the introduction, there were just too many contradictory pieces of advice regarding this point of view, and I don't want to be another one of those confusing voices in this space of writing advice giving. So contemplating this is really what made me think of trying to find an editor and asking all the questions. So if you do have a question about like first, third, any of the third person point of views or second, you should ask them either under the video, over on the blog post or in the Facebook group or just under my social media channel, so then I can sort of collect these questions and then ask the and make sure I'm covering these questions in that interview with the editor. So now that I've spoken about these more common point of views that you see in fiction, what are the most common mistakes? So here are a few of the most common mistakes when writing in first or third person, and a quick tip on how to fix them. Head hopping, where the narrator character is telling a reader how another character feels in response to something, is a mistake that can be made in every point of view, but especially first and third limited. In these instances, you need to filter this through the character's perspective, where the character is guessing or interpreting how a character might be feeling instead of saying it outright. When you tell a story using the first person pronouns, it can be especially tempting to overuse filtering words like saw, heard, looked, and touched. Now that I mention it, you can definitely do this in third person too. Quite often, these words are used when describing the five senses. A simple fix is to describe the sense and how it makes the character feel. For example, he saw the red coat flapping in the wind. Instead, you could write, a lone red hooded coat hung on one of the posts of the horse paddock, flapping in the violent wind. I mean, the second option is less than stellar, but you get the point. It's definitely better than the he saw the red coat. In the first instance, the word saw is redundant because the reader knows the scene or chapter is from the character's perspective. Repetitive sentence patterns are also an issue with this. I guess you can do this with all points of view, but I think especially first. So it goes without saying you should avoid citing too many sentences in a row with the I pronoun. I think this is something, a mistake that you'll make in the first draft. And I think it's okay to make mistakes in your first draft. Your first draft is not supposed to be perfect. And that's the point of it, is to go through and perfect what's there. That's the point of the first draft. But this is often a mistake you'll see, because sometimes when I read through my first drafts, there'll be, usually it's a paragraph and it'll be like he, and because my protagonist is male, and I sort of chose a male protagonist deliberately because I thought, well, I'm female and I don't want to create my alter ego. I want to create someone who's very different to me. And even then, my personality, some parts of my personality filtered down through to him, but so it was a tiny bit of a fail, but he's not my alter ego or my dream guy. I think he'd be a nightmare. Often your first draft with a first-person narrated story can be telling-focused because you're limited to what the character knows, thinks, and feels, and exclusively that. I think it's more so with the first person than third, definitely for me anyway, because I wasn't used to writing in first person, so I noticed that was something that I particularly did. So as you're editing, look for places where you can show something instead of merely stating something outright. For instance, you could show the suspicious behavior of another character instead of having the narrator speculate about what they're doing and how it's suspicious. I mean, obviously this behavior is being filtered through the point of view character. So instead of the character actually saying, oh, that's suspicious. You could just show the character doing the thing and obviously the POV character is watching them. I know that's a basic tip, but I don't want to just point out common mistakes without helping you fix them. And I also hope that wasn't too confusing either. So obviously that isn't everything you can know about point of view, but I thought this is a nice sort of basic foundation to start with when talking about point of view in fiction. And I hope it provides you tips on how to choose the right point of view for your story. As always, I have an important question for you. Are you interested in listening to me interview an editor about point of view in fiction? Share your thoughts in the comments section under the blog post or in the comments section on YouTube or over in the Am Writing Fiction Facebook group. There's a link to the Facebook group in the show notes and over on the blog post. In the next episode of the podcast, I will delve deeper into point of view and discussing the point of view character, and I'll share the thing I wish I knew about point of view character before I wrote my first novel. I didn't even realize this was a thing either, and I feel like if I understood this, if the penny had dropped for me so much earlier in my writing journey, then I think my writing would have been much better. So thanks for listening and happy reading and writing, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Authorpreneur Podcast. If you love this episode, then hit the subscribe button and leave a review on your favorite podcasting app. I'm your host, Amelia D. Hay, and I'll see you next week for another episode.